Kalikalikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day.
Welcome one and all, and that's a Merry Christmas to everyone. It is our special holiday podcast. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. Kwanzaa, I take it as well, is part of this December celebration, is it not?
It is.
It is. Matter of fact, today is the second day of Hanukkah. Is it not?
Well pronounced.
See?
I'm
telling you. I am telling you. There's a Jew in this big boy somewhere, I'm telling you right now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. It is the Nerd Watch. I am G Money. I am joined by three faithful nerds and a lady nerd. Well, two faithful nerds and a lady nerd. Ladies and gentlemen, Collector J in the house. Exactly.
Morning.
The one and only Professor Barry's in the house.
Good morning.
And Amber, the newest member of the Nerd Watch. How are you doing, Amber?
I'm doing great.
That's fantastic. How, how's everybody's week been?
Good.
Good?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, it is our holiday special. What some of you don't know is that I'm going to make it very festive. Well, we have a lot of we've got a nerd tech gift section of the show today. We'll have a little bit of maybe holiday music running underneath there, which
nice.
Will be kind of nice, you know. We'll talk and, you know, just
crackle the fireplace.
Crackle the fireplace kind of thing. Sit back, relax, and enjoy it. Now, anybody see anything exciting this week? Anybody watch anything exciting at home or at the movies? Collector J, anything on your list?
No, I did watch a Jason Statham movie that actually was really good.
Really?
Yes.
For some reason, you paused. I thought you were going to say Jason Voorhees movie.
No. I watched Redemption, which was actually a very emotional movie for Jason.
Surprising, because I heard that was terrible.
I enjoyed it.
Wow.
I enjoyed it.
Wow. Redemption. Yep. And was good. So was that on Netflix?
I enjoyed it. I mean, you might be able to argue whether it was good or not, but I enjoyed it. And then I also saw Tusk. I finished watching that.
Okay. I have not, and I want to still see that. So Redemption, is that worth a view? Is that on Netflix?
Yeah, if you have time and bored and want something to watch, then yeah.
I'm sure Jason Statham appreciates your critique on
we'll
his
put
film.
That on if the DVD.
No, I mean, it was...
if you're bored, watch this movie.
Well, not everyone appreciates or likes the movies he does normally.
I think he's great.
I like him. Yeah. So for those people who are against Jason, then yeah, if you're bored, but... For the normal movies he does, of course, he's an enforcer slash driver, so that's kind of the pigeonhole he's been put in.
He's got
an emotional side to it, which was done really well by him.
Right. Before The Rock came about, he was the action star for the 2000s, was he not?
He was.
Transporter, Transporter 2, Transporter 3. He's done, of course, as we know, The Expendables, The Mechanic. He did a remake of The Mechanic with Ben Foster, which actually wasn't bad. Not great, but not bad.
Not bad.
And then
Tusk, which was better than Red State.
Oh, well, wow.
Those are fighting words.
Wow, man. That is. I guess I'm going to have to watch Tusk then. Did you see Tusk?
No, I'm dying to see it.
I know. Me too. Amber, what about you? You see anything this week?
I finished Sherlock.
Sherlock, as in the BBC,
yes, the BBC
series with Benedict Cumberbatch.
That's him.
That's the guy.
And then I saw Marco Polo.
Okay, Marco Polo is the newest. I wanted to know about this. It's Marco Polo is the newest series to Netflix, and from what all of the critics are saying, is that it's Netflix's attempt at a Game of Thrones type of show minus the magic and mythos. Is that correct?
It's very accurate, actually.
Really?
Historically. So it's actually on a different level. I enjoyed it more than Game of Thrones.
Wow.
Whoa.
You can't say that here.
I grew up watching old school Chinese movies where they're doing magic and flying and stuff and sword fighting.
I love that stuff.
And where they're like 20 volumes plus and, you know, it takes you a month to finish.
Shaolin versus Ninja.
This is like really well done. The costume, the background, it's really good and historically very accurate.
Really?
Yeah.
Listen, not to take your word for it, but you are Chinese.
No, I'm Vietnamese.
Vietnamese. Same difference, right?
Way to go,
I mean,
Greg.
According to you.
Way to go. Way to go.
Chinese, right?
We're all the same. We're all really
right. Exactly. You said that last week. Same last
Greg,
week.
Yeah.
Okay, so... So, as far as this guy goes, this guy playing Marco Polo.
Sure.
How good is he?
Besides the fact that we have the first time we watched it through, we had a lot of trouble understanding all their accents.
The first time?
We saw the thing twice.
Wow.
The whole thing?
The first time we watched it through, the second time we had the closed caption on.
Oh.
Because of their accent.
Smart.
Some of them are Australian. Some of them had British accents. Some of them had funky accents from who knows where. Some of them had accents on top of accents. So it was, you know, it was hard to understand.
Hmm.
So closed caption.
So that's the way to watch the show then?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that.
But it's good. It's good.
It's good?
Yeah.
All right.
And it's really, when you look at actually how they cast the actors for the Asians, the guy that played Khan looked Mongolian slash Korean slash Chinese.
I've seen his picture. He looks good.
So it is a really good casting job that they did. And his son looks somewhat Chinese because, well, the guy is half Chinese, half white. But his son was kind of mixed up because the Khans had kids with a bunch of women.
Right,
you know.
Right.
But anyways, like, the Korean-Mongolian look is really very similar. And then you add in with the Chinese. It's, like, really well done.
Wow. Amazing. So, yeah. On a scale, on an Amber scale of 1 to 10, where would you put Marco Polo?
9.5.
Wow! That's some big praise.
Because of the language, the accents.
Really?
Otherwise, it would have gotten a 10.
Really?
So watch with subtitles.
Watch with subtitles. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll watch Marco Polo. I heard from the review that I read said that the first four episodes were the roughest to get through. So once you get past that, it gets good.
It wasn't rough. Actually.
Really?
Okay. Because, well, unless you understand and appreciate, that's what I'm saying. Put on the closed captions.
Okay, fantastic. That's
how long
I'm
is this thing?
13 episodes? 10 episodes?
No, 10 episodes. And if you have Netflix, they even have like four trailers that they add to it so that you can see what they've put out. Be aware, lots of full nudity.
Wow.
There are lots of sex scenes because it's during that time, opium and drugs. So you might not want your kids to watch it
with you.
Seriously.
Got it.
And
fantastic.
The fighting scenes are amazingly choreographed.
Wow. All right, I'm in. I am all in for this show.
You had me at sex and opium.
Yeah, I guess that's what it was.
And because my husband had a degree in Chinese history, you will appreciate which dynasty came in when gunpowder was used, you know, all that.
The dynasties have always fascinated me, and the tech of the Chinese at the time. And was quite advanced. They were like the Romans of the Far East, which is amazing. You know, how they would predict earthquakes they had this machine that had dragons on it and things like that. And if it tipped the right way, we knew that there was an earthquake coming. It was really cool stuff.
Yeah.
So, and is your husband a professor?
No. My husband is a financial advisor.
Oh, well. Go figure.
Sounds like a smart guy.
Wow, smart guy. He's a Korean with a Chinese history background. That's pretty good.
International economics.
He's got all kinds of. He's got a good flavor to this. That's a good guy.
That's right.
You chose well.
I did.
All right, 9.5. I'm excited.
Yep, sounds great.
All right, so I did see one film in this my busy schedule. I did get to see one film at home a couple of days ago. I watched Denzel Washington in The Equalizer. I have to say that. For me, it wasn't bad, and it wasn't good. It was a very mixed bag because there was stuff that was great and other stuff that I just felt didn't feel right.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen The Equalizer show with Edward Woodward, great show, very dark, and they kind of had the same cadence in that respect where it almost felt like there were vignettes of a TV episode in the new Equalizer film with Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
You know, it was all these vignettes of a TV episode, but there was this overarching storyline. Overall, I don't want to give away too much, but it's not a bad film. It's not great. The action sequences are fantastic. I really thought they were well done. I thought it was cliched. How they ended up back the climax of the film, how they ended up back in where he worked. A little cliched, but that's neither here nor there. It was one of those things where you knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But overall, I thought that Antoine Fuqua has done better, but I will say that it's not a horrible movie by any stretch. I would give it maybe out of 1 out of 10, I'd give it maybe a 5.5, 6. It's a good action movie to just throw on and have a good time with. But I do feel that there was some story that didn't need to be in there. I felt that Chloe Grace Moretz was wasted, absolutely wasted. It would have been better just to cast an unknown, because I felt like she was such a distraction, because I'm thinking, where is she?
Yeah.
Okay, she's in. Okay, now we've laid her up in bed for the next hour and a half of the film. It's like, I just didn't. It didn't really. It didn't do anything for me. But I like the fact how this is how he becomes the Equalizer. That's essentially what it is. It's a lesson on how he becomes who he is today, and how he realizes that what he does is special, and that he wants to. That what's going to make him fulfilled, make his life fulfilled, is to bring light to other people that can't do the same. And that was kind of cool. But like I said, other than that, I thought The Equalizer was a pretty good flick. Did you enjoy it?
I feel exactly the same way you did. It completely mixed feelings about it. I think Washington made that movie very compelling.
He
even
did.
Though the script was very disjointed.
Sure.
Very strange to see this character reflecting who Washington is as a person with his own experiences with the Boys Club
right.
of America. You know.
Right.
But at the same time, there's scenes where he's taking a drill bit into a guy's skull.
Oh, yeah.
Some nasty, nasty
there
stuff
is some,
in this movie.
It is. It almost seems like there is intentional, but it seems like for a movie as dark as this, there just seems to be beams of sunlight in it.
Yeah.
And it just and maybe that was the point, that saying that in this world of darkness that there are these rays of sunshine that shone through the darkness, and these are the good things that we should be looking at. But to be honest, there are things that are very dark and very when you see a Russian mob guy, you know, very disturbingly choke out a Russian escort.
Yeah.
That's pretty rough.
It's nasty
stuff. That's pretty rough.
I would say totally inconsistent.
Yeah.
And not to talk about another film, but I got to say, three Bronson-esque movies came out in September. You had The Equalizer,
yep.
Walk Among the Tombstones, and John Wick. John Wick has those other two movies completely licked.
Really?
John Wick, I think, is how you make these movies.
I was just about to say that I love John Wick, and I think that John Wick was a better film than The Equalizer, for sure.
And definitely better than Walk Among the Tombstones.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Should I even bother watching Walk?
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's not an action movie at all. I mean,
that's
it's
what
more
I heard.
Of a, more of a really nitty gritty detective movie. It's quite good, but I got to say, it's also nastier than it needs to be. There are scenes involving rape and torture that the movie didn't even need. You know,
interesting.
It's one thing to suggest it. It's one thing to threaten it. It's another thing to do that and show it, which is
yeah. You're right. There, I have to say that there is a. We become so desensitized to it that, for me, I almost feel like there is no need to see it. I always think that the imagination is much more alive, and the things that you come up with in your head could probably be disturbing enough.
Yes.
So you don't need to see it. I agree with you on that.
Walk Among the Tombstones has a story. It's very similar to Seven in a lot of ways, but unlike that film, it shows more than we need to see, whereas Seven, as you remember, didn't show us
anything.
And that's what made that movie so scary.
So good, absolutely.
Yep.
All right, so Equalizer, one of those films that I say watch, rent, for crying out loud. It's good on a ironically enough, on a December evening or a January evening, a cold evening. It was
but
great.
Not as good as the show, though. That
oh,
show is still
That show is still fantastic.
Great.
It's still great,
they
absolutely.
They didn't use the theme music. Like, why didn't you use the
I
theme?
I know! I thought to myself the same thing. But I guess Antoine is trying to make his own statement. And I think he did a middling job of that, trying to stay true to the source material, but yet do his own thing.
Yeah.
So overall, not great, not good. Definitely a mixed bag
in
that respect, but still enjoyable enough to watch if you don't have anything to see, for sure, I would say. All right, so Collector J, Amber, you guys don't want to listen to this, because I know something that Professor Barry did that we never had a chance to do, and he did it twice. No, it's not what you're thinking.
What are you talking about? I already have 14.
It's not what I'm talking about. What I am talking about is he went to go see Exodus Gods and Kings with Christian Bale. And listen to this, nerds. He went to see The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies.
Yep.
Did you watch it in 3D?
No.
Did you watch any of them in 3D?
No. Okay. All right.
So let's start with Exodus first. Exodus Gods and Kings. Your review is up at MayaWatch.com. Why don't we just talk about a little bit here. What did you think of Exodus with Christian Bale and Joel Edgerton?
The thing about the movie that is so fascinating but also so maddening is that the movie doesn't completely all out say it, but this is a secular version of a biblical story.
Sure.
About 40 minutes into the film, it plays exactly as you'd expect Ridley Scott's take on Moses would go. Then Moses gets hit on the head with a rock, and while he is under, he hallucinates, has this vision of the burning bush and the kid. And everything that proceeds is suggesting...
The kid, what does that mean?
The kid is a representation of a messenger, so he's speaking through God. The kid isn't God, but he is speaking through God, this boy that only Moses can see. And throughout the film, it is suggested that... Everything that happens supernaturally in the film is a result of Moses' madness.
He's
crazy. There is nothing supernatural in this movie. It's a very difficult argument to make that anything remotely supernatural happens in this film. The whole film is the suggestion that everything that happened in the book of Exodus can be explained scientifically and practically.
Sure.
Some of this is really intriguing because, let's face it, we're never going to see a $140 million atheist biblical movie again. This is never, ever going to happen. This is an anomaly.
Well, this is our second one this year, isn't it?
This is crazier in a different way.
Whoa. Because if you're talking Noah was crazy.
Noah's nuts.
Was this one more true to the source material than Noah? From what I didn't see Noah.
Noah is crap.
That's what I heard. But did Exodus Gazi King... not get so crappy with the source material?
It follows the source material to a point, but it really is trying to present a secular universe that this happens in. And here's the thing. On the one hand, I found this fascinating because you're watching this story with a completely different perspective. Without getting too much into it, I'll say that I'm someone of faith, and I certainly like the traditional version of the story. But here's the thing. Regardless of if you're an atheist or a believer, here is the bottom line.
What?
The story isn't as good taking God out of the picture. It's not as interesting. What is more interesting here? The version of a guy who gets hit on the head, has these crazy hallucinations, somehow manages to lead people despite the fact that he's nuts, and then coincidentally all these anomalies are happening scientifically around him. Or someone who is in cahoots with God, who is a fallen prince and now is a renewed warrior who leads this exodus of slaves, and he's doing it with the power of God on his side. That's a more interesting story.
I have to agree
with
you.
It's a better story. In this case, it's a strange story. And it's weird that we're supposed to accept the plagues happening, and each plague is explained with a scientific background. Moses leads the slaves to the Red Sea. He's going, oh no, what do we do? And then suddenly, coincidentally, a comet lands in the Red Sea, which parts it just coincidentally in the nick of time. It just makes it seem like Moses is being saved by all these contrivances, frankly.
Interesting.
So the movie is visually stunning. Christian Bale gives an excellent performance, even though his accent is all over the place. Aaron Paul is completely wasted, unfortunately. He's got these really interesting scenes, but the character doesn't really go anywhere. It feels like we're going to get a longer director's cut on DVD and Blu-ray, which I'm glad.
Assuming is the case because Ridley does this all the time.
And I think this movie will benefit from that. I really do. There's some aspects of it that felt a little truncated. But anyway, it's a flawed movie. It's a problematic movie. And certainly if you're expecting a good movie for a faith-based audience to see at Christmas time, this couldn't be a worse choice than this movie, which is why I think it doesn't have a chance in heck at the box office. But I gotta say, I admired the movie as much as I was frustrated by it.
All right. So my question, my ultimate question is does Pharaoh let the Jews go?
Yeah.
Oh, so there is. Okay, that's good.
So yeah.
That's,
so it sticks to the story, but this is a story about people and about practical science. It is not a story about faith, despite the fact that they talk about God. But everything that is presented as being of God is strictly the imagination of Moses, according to
you know. I don't mind. What's funny is that I don't mind so much. You know, God and science don't have to be on opposite ends as of the spectrum. You know, I always have believed that science, good science, actually proves that God does exist. And there's nothing wrong with or making a possible claim that there is some scientific possibilities for the plagues. I can see that for sure. But there is no. there's no doubt that there is a supernatural hand at work in these stories. So when you take that out, you certainly do change the all-encompassing story in and of itself, I would assume, right?
Yeah.
So,
and it would have worked better. It really would have worked better if we just had shown Moses' struggles with his faith, struggling with his faith.
And I love, that's what I like.
And I like that too. I think that's far more interesting. I think that was right. One of the most interesting things about The Last Temptation of Christ, showing right. Jesus' really, really naked struggle with faith. Here, the fact that they take it completely out of the question, the movie doesn't all out say it, but I mean, it is completely explicitly suggested right. that this is all right. his madness. It's a strange way to go.
Right. Well, I agree, because the secular world in and of itself truly believes that that Christians are just these mindless followers of Christ, which is completely false, because the Bible in and of itself is basically written by guys that constantly struggle with their faith yeah. consistently. So, you know, from Moses, who struggled with it, you know, let's put it this way, not to get all biblical, but Moses, when God came to Moses and God said, listen, you need to free these people, you need to free my people, Moses told God that he couldn't do it. God said, fine. So what did he do? He cursed him with a speech impediment and had Aaron have talked to the Pharaoh. So there was a lot of struggles with from Paul to Peter to, you know, all of these people in the Bible always struggle with faith. And I always think that that is more and more interesting story than trying to secularize the Exodus story, which is, I don't think is a good idea. But secondly, does he say, let my people go?
No.
Oh, no Charlton Heston callback, huh?
No.
Oh.
And that's another weird thing. I don't want to talk too much more about Exodus, but I'll say that there are opportunities here that you figure Ridley Scott would have nailed. The shot of Moses in the basket going down, not there. The shot of the rod turning into the snake, not there. The golden calf, not there. Like,
wow.
Like some opportunities you figured Ridley Scott would have nailed this. And
sure,
no.
Sure. Interesting. So now my question is this: on a scale of 1 to 10, for this film, you admired some things, you didn't like other things. Where would you put it?
I'm giving it a 3-star review. So I think the good aspects of it, namely the performances and the visuals, are strong enough to see it and strong enough to recommend. But there are aspects of it that I can't help but be disappointed by.
Okay. So ambitious,
yes.
but the story is lacking. It sounds like to me it's more CGI spectacle than it is a movie with substance. Is that...
The substance is odd. It feels like there's some disjointed aspects. It's a problematic story, because we're in awe of the visuals, but the visuals are telling us that Bill Nye, the science guy, could explain everything that's happening. So it's
sure.
it's kind of a weird experience to see it in this way.
Weird.
But it's unique for what it is.
Fantastic. All right, so 3 stars.
Yep.
All right, now onto a movie that's more important to this podcast. You went to see the final film of the Hobbit series. The Hobbit, the Five Armies, the Battle of the Five Armies.
Yep.
Where can you begin with this film?
First of all, let me say I was surprised that I actually liked this one.
Really?
Because
you have a disdain for the other two.
I'm not, yeah. Because for me, the thrill of these Tolkien films ended in 2003. I feel like Peter Jackson capped it perfectly, did not need to go back. And since he's gone back, I've had a lot of the same problems that a lot of the fans have had. They feel overextended. They feel unnecessary.
Sure.
It feels like we're just watching these characters set the path for the really interesting characters that are going to come with the subsequent trilogy.
Right.
This film still has a lot of the problems that the trilogy has had. It opens up with the sequence that's leftover business from the previous film about the denizens of Lake Town. Who cares about Lake Town? Who cares about any of these people? Smaug, the fire-breathing, talking dragon, shows up.
Who's he voiced by?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
There you go.
And he's fantastic. Too bad the character is barely in the film. He exits the movie way too soon. Considering how everything else in this movie is overextended, you figure they would have kept him a little longer than just a few minutes. But I'll tell you, once we get to the Battle of the Five Armies, which takes up most of the running time, a few things. The film is very fast. It's 2.5 hours. This is the shortest by far of these movies.
Oh no, that'll get longer once we hit Blu-ray for
that's
sure.
That's true. But at the moment, it's as long
okay,
as X.
Okay, at
is,
the moment,
which is like a Seinfeld episode for these movies. And
that's true. I never thought of it that way.
It's short. It's really short considering. And the build up to the battle is great. Billy Connolly shows up.
I love Billy Connolly.
Boy, does he just steal this movie whenever he's on the screen. He's terrific. And even though the battle itself is disappointing because it's a lot of CGI figures smacking into each other, we've seen that so many times.
Once
we get to the one-on-one confrontations, it's pretty thrilling stuff.
Right.
So it really starts to happen in about an hour in. The movie really starts to take place.
Is there a resolve? I mean, when we come to this end, is there a resolve to all of this? To the Hobbit storyline?
And that's the thing. Like, I feel like we finally get a sense of what Jackson's been building towards with this trilogy. The characters finally have their arc. The stories finally crackle. Things finally feel like we're really getting somewhere, and everybody's starting to really get interesting. And it ends in a way that bookends not only the first Hobbit film, but also just this whole trilogy complements itself well. But at the same time, bottom line is you can't get around the fact that this is a story about supporting characters who are not as interesting as what's going to happen next.
Interesting. So now does it bridge to the Fellowship of the Ring?
It does, and I think it does it well.
Good. Overall, is it this is not a standalone film. You should watch the other two.
Yeah.
Yes.
It will be completely lost if you haven't seen not only the prior two films, but the prior three films.
Oh, fantastic. All right. I've told you that I really haven't seen the original trilogy, right?
Is this the first time you've admitted that on this show?
I may have admitted it before, but okay. Yeah. I think I was suffering some sleep apnea at the time, and every time I went to the film, I would always fall asleep. So there was an issue.
It's a medical condition.
It's a medical condition, yeah, yeah. So totally. It had nothing to do with Peter Jackson or the Hobbits, I swear. All right, so the Battle of the Five Armies. You actually like this one compared to the other two.
I did.
On your scale of 1 to 10, where would you put it?
It's a good 3. Good solid 3.
Good,
the scale of 1 to 10. Sorry. I've been doing 5. Oh, 5 is like super masterpiece. 1 is awful.
All right, so 1 through 5.
So 3.
So 3 stars. Three stars.
And 3 Mutsubis, because with the trailers, it's 3 hours. So,
correct.
So 1 Mutsubi for each hour.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. So that means that Exodus was, I said 1 through 10, so let's go 1 through 5 for that. So that's a 3-star
movie.
That's
a 3. Yeah, fantastic. And again, 3 Mutsubis, because
right.
You're going to need the Mutsubis for
each
hour.
For sure, anything over 2 hours, you're going to need at least 3 Mutsubis.
But Hobbit feels really fast. That's the weird thing. It's a brisk film. It's paced well. It feels like it doesn't have a lot of filler in it. Yeah.
All right, well, I hope now that this is over, he can get started on that Frighteners sequel.
The Frighteners trilogy.
Bring
it.
I'm ready for that. That's
I
what I'm ready
love
for.
The Frighteners.
I hope he's done. I think he's made his billions.
It's so funny. You said that's exactly how I ended my review. I said, I want that Frighteners prequel trilogy.
Yeah. I haven't even seen the review yet.
Oh, yeah. But I love the Frighteners.
Do you remember that show, Collector J? Or that movie with Michael J. Fox and Chai McBride? Called The Frighteners? Oh, man. You are missing out. You should put that on your list.
It's a full-out horror movie, but it's also a comedy.
I think you'll appreciate it because it's almost like a 90s version of Ghostbusters,
yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that movie. Very funny. You forget how talented Peter Jackson is. I mean, other than because he actually does something with the talent as opposed to just CGI.
Yeah.
So, Amber, you a fan?
Frighteners?
Have
Michael J. Fox? No?
No,
oh, I like Michael J. Fox.
Oh, there you go. Do you like the Hobbit? Okay. Are you a fan of The Hobbit?
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to The Hobbit because it's a necessary film to understand. Because I read the books, and they're long. So
yeah.
I'm...
Right.
The Hobbit's a short book, though. It's
it
a skinny
is,
book.
But I mean, like, it's...
Was that a joke? That's good, though.
Short. Hobbits.
That's funny.
But it's a necessary bridge. So.
Okay, cool. All right, so like we said though, The Hobbit is one book.
Yeah, it's one book.
It's 3 movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think now the movies are longer than the book.
Yes.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, now that we got that all out of our system, moving on to some big news before we get into the holiday stuff. Now to talk about something that's completely frightening before we get into the happy stuff. These Sony hacks and leaks have become quite an issue in Hollywood as we speak. And big news, it's taking up a lot of the news cycles as of late. The leaks have shown that some of these execs over these liberal execs in Hollywood making quote unquote racist jokes against the president and things of that nature have come to light. I am for one am one of those guys that think that it's going to happen to everybody and anyone sometime. I don't think hacking someone's email or us reading someone's email is kosher, as it were. I don't know if it's illegal as of yet, but not exactly kosher. It's private. That's what the whole point of email is.
Well, hacking is illegal.
Well, hacking is. But what I'm saying is
cyber.
I'm saying reading someone else's email. I don't think there's a law.
No, not yet. But I think it's really on the same level as opening someone else's mail.
That's a federal offense, sir.
Which I think it should be on the same level.
You think so?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I think you're right because you know regardless of what's in these things, regardless of what's in these emails, I do think that there is an expectation of privacy when you write an email. So with that in mind, I do think that whatever it is in these emails shouldn't be for public consumption, as it were. I'm not defending Sony by any stretch because you know I just want to know where all of these people, where Hollywood was, like Aaron Sorkin was on television talking about how we shouldn't be reading these emails and the media shouldn't be reporting on it. I wonder where he was when
you got pull up Woodward and Bernstein.
Or? Yeah, exactly. Or where he was when the LA Clippers guy was recorded.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't know it and they released it. Where was all these people?
Or if you want to get really serious. Why didn't he speak out against Edward Snowden releasing all that information?
I agree. I completely agree with that.
That happens a lot in today's society. You try to have it both ways. People yep. talk about that. And, you know, and it's funny. I'm surprised Sony, you know, I think we can disregard the theory that was put out last week that Sony might be doing a publicity stunt.
Oh, no. This is definitely not a publicity stunt anymore.
For the show. But it's interesting to me. I thought about it last night. All these emails that were being read. I'm surprised Sony hasn't denied that they wrote those emails because you have the source coming from people who hacked the website. They're being terrorists.
Yeah. Yep.
There's no way that they would. There's no reason why they can't make up fictitious emails and put them out there.
That's a possibility.
That's damaging. Sony releasing the movie is not a big deal. In the long run, I think with the movies they release, but making up fictitious emails where they're talking against. Their biggest cash cows. I mean, they have emails that talk about Will Smith's kid.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Right? That was a big one.
And Will Smith is like a huge...
And the producer made a claim like Angelina's minimally talented kind of thing.
I think, you know, and I'm not, you know, trying to defend Sony as well. If they made those comments, then...
Well, what's her face? Good, Amy Pascal, actually, she apologized for... She was the one that wrote that Obama letter or that Obama email to that other producer.
Yeah.
And she... Both of them have come on and apologized for that, and they've taken...
Right, so they've taken credit.
Right.
That it was there. But I'm surprised they didn't take that stance, even though
they did write. What you're saying is, that's not my
control.
Emails.
That's damage control
That's a good point, though. Yeah.
I'm surprised that they haven't gone that route. You know, and I'm going to put on to another story and say it's very interesting because my wife first saw this story, but she didn't catch the tail end of the 9/11 style terrorist threats.
We're going to talk about that.
But right before, because she was watching the news, and right before this was the story of ISIS. That went into a school.
Well, the Taliban that went into a school in Pakistan and killed 132
kids.
Yep.
But yet, not a blip has been said about that.
Mm-mm.
And there was more about this story. And I personally think that...
It was finally said something about that this morning. I watched ABC News at like 5
ABC
o'clock.
ABC finally said something?
And Fox News did something yesterday, as a matter of fact, too. So,
but I think it's interesting that, you know... I think they're right in saying, because they came out with a thing from the lawyer saying, whoever puts out this information, we're going to go after.
Sure.
I think it's true. I mean, if no one took any of this stuff and published it, the hack would have done nothing.
Sure.
So I think it's partly the news agencies that are publishing all this stuff that have fueled the current state of the affair.
For sure.
But I think, you know, reading it, yeah, the leaks are fun. The Sony movies that might have been.
Yeah, the all Men that, in Black 21 Jump Street crossover movie. I mean,
yeah.
All the Zorro Django Unchained crossover movie.
But I think we'd be fooling ourselves if we ever thought that we'd be able to live life without offending someone somehow in what we spoke or wrote. I mean, that's just being real.
Absolutely.
So people can have an opinion, and if you're writing an email to someone else who's in confidence and have your opinion about the president or about another producer or another actor, you're entitled to that opinion.
Sure.
There's no way you can take away that right.
Absolutely.
Everyone getting up in arms about, you know, off-color comments, this and that, I would like to see their lives 100% clean of all that
Absolutely.
Stuff. And it wouldn't happen because it's just... I'm not perfect. I know I probably once or twice have made comments that
for sure
would anger one race or group of people or whatever it is.
And
but,
my opinions about the president, it's not secret.
So I think
right. I'm never secret about.
So yeah, that's my little spiel.
Yeah, I think.
Why didn't we hear about the kids?
Right. Exactly. And I think he's right. I think. Well, and here's why. It's because, look, it's no secret that I'm a conservative guy. I'm definitely right of center, as it were. The reason why we don't hear about it is because mainstream media has a tendency to downplay a lot of the terrorist attack that deal with Islamic extremists. This is something that affects Hollywood, which is their bread and butter for sure. And if I'm honest, I would have to say that. For the majority of people that work on computers every day, this is kind of scary. This incident in and of itself, because if Sony can get hacked, anybody can get hacked at this point. But then again, Sony's been having this problem forever ago.
That's the age old problem, though. Anything on the internet, anything digitally, you have to have some idea that it could get out there.
Absolutely.
Even with kids, I mean, that's the big problem with kids sending pictures is. You know, even with Snapchat, you screenshot the image and you can share it with a whole bunch of people. You have to assume, now if it's a good friend, you can have some level of security and privacy, but you have to assume at one point someone may get that email forwarded. I mean, it could be an accident. You could hit reply all instead of reply, and all of a sudden everyone in the group that you're complaining about gets that email. Right. So,
have you done that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah,
I'm better than that.
Don't say that. Now you're gonna do it.
I have.
What have you really?
Oh, I have.
No. What was that like?
It's okay because they're used to me.
It wasn't like too like personal the information that you.
It was more of a blanket racist stereotyping.
Wow.
You know, paragraph.
Well, let me say something. I'm going to say something right now. I have always said this, even when I was doing radio back in the day. There is nothing wrong with pointing out everybody. I don't think there's anything wrong with stereotypes because stereotypes point out what we don't like to see in us. But it's something that what we can see in ourselves and find funny, and other people can find funny. And I think that lowers the tension. But instead, now everybody seems to ratchet up the tension when you try and joke about stuff like that. I always think stereotypes are just they're funny, they're enjoyable. They're not, and by the way, if anybody was really racist, don't you think they played a little closer to the vest? You know what I mean? They wouldn't be making those jokes in public. They would kind of just keep it close to the vest.
Well, I'm just sick and tired of every comment that you make about someone gets turned into a racist.
Oh yeah, it's ridiculous.
Tone. I mean, it's like
or misogynist.
I'm sorry, I don't like. I don't like the way he. I don't like that teacher because he doesn't know how to teach the subject. I'm not learning because of him. Well, you don't like him because he's Chinese. Or
right,
he's black.
Right, right.
It has nothing
right.
to do with that. It has to do with their skill set. I wouldn't hire this person to do this because I don't think they do a good job. Oh, you don't like? I mean, it's just. Yeah. It's so ridiculous.
Right. It is. It's absolutely asinine.
It's like you can't do anything outside your own. You actually can't even do anything inside your own home.
I do say this, and not to belabor this point. I do think living in the islands is a lot different because
we're shielded.
We are, and on top of that, everybody here is mixed race. Just about everybody that you meet. Is of a mixed race background.
I'm pure blood.
You're pure blood.
I'm pure blood.
I'm mixed race. I'm sure that there's...
I'm a Eurotrash omelet.
You're a Eurotrash omelet for sure.
We are a mixed race, but so there is one race that gets called out the most on this island.
Oh, sure.
And that everyone gets lumped to no matter how mixed
that's
you
true.
Are.
That's true. I agree.
Which is Howleys.
I'm sure that so, you're right.
Which is translated, for those of you on the mail listening, people. Is white devil.
White devil.
All right, actually, isn't it without breath?
I thought it was blue-eyed devil. No,
it's without... It's without. Yeah, that's what the Jews referred to the Nazis during the.
That is true.
World War II.
They referred to the Nazis as Howleys?
No.
Wow.
Blue-eyed devils.
Oh, blue-eyed devil. Thank you.
Because blonde hair, blue eyes.
I had no idea.
No. So there is one. There is that separation on this island. So we're not exactly immune to it, but we are sheltered in a very big way.
Right. I think, and I think you're right. But you know what? I think that's good because I like the fact that. That you know, you can't claim to be, you know, I think I said this before in the podcast where, you know, San Francisco has its little Chinatowns or its Chinatowns, and you know, New York City has its little Armenia and its little Italy. We have everything. We are fused.
Yeah.
Everybody's fused together. Not only our culture pervades that, our food pervades that, our lifestyle pervades that, which is very interesting because we adopt a lot of everybody's culture.
I think that though is also negative because you don't get to experience culture unfiltered.
Sure.
You know, I could go to in San Francisco or wherever, whatever you use as an example, I could go to Chinatown and seem like I'm in China.
Sure.
You know, it's a little piece of it. Here you don't really have that unfiltered culture. I mean, even Hawaii's culture isn't really grounded
in
the history of the Hawaiian culture.
Sure.
And from my previous comments, interesting because me being Haole or white or blue-eyed
white devil,
if you want to call it, I've actually, it's funny, I've seen people's stance towards me change.
Sure.
Once they find out I'm married to a Hawaiian.
Mm.
I've all of a sudden like made this.
You're in the club.
Cut.
No, you're in the club.
Somehow.
You should have a pin or something.
And it's funny because Hawaiian by marriage. I've in broad daylight nighttime stayed in Waianae on Oahu as a white person, which
me too.
Before being married I would never do that.
Oh,
but because I'm local by marriage.
Sure. So in this scenario,
I have some local cred.
So in this scenario, you wear the flower in your left ear, not your wife. Is that what you're saying?
No, because
that's the symbol in the islands, by the way.
She wears the flower.
Oh, she does. Okay, yeah. Good. I was gonna say, don't do that.
I agree with Collector J, because we are so mixed, we don't get to experience real Chinese food,
true.
Mexican food.
Or traditions, even
Chinese New Year that's coming up, you know, it's mixed.
That's true.
There is something beautiful to being able to point out and say, that's Chinese,
sure.
Or that's Japanese, that's Filipino, that's Hawaiian. I mean, I
see, and for me, I'm what's ironic enough is considering the fact that I thought you were Chinese, Amber, race to me makes no difference. I like the fact that we're all fused together. I've never found an issue with. I've never said, "Geez, I wonder what an English New Year is like, or a Scottish New Year, or a Filipino New Year." If I had to choose, I would probably take the English New Year. But you know what I'm saying?
Aren't we all one race? That's the thing.
That's a human race.
And a human race.
Right.
But
and,
I think the downside with not having those culture pockets,
mm-hmm.
you can never really appreciate your own or someone else's culture without experiencing other ones.
Good point.
So for the people who have never stepped off the islands,
mm-hmm.
that claim this huge love and how their culture is
I agree.
Better than everyone else's
culture. I know where you're
going
with this.
They can't claim that.
Absolutely.
Because they have no idea what other cultures are like.
Absolutely.
Because once they experience pure culture, they can appreciate and not say which culture is better.
Well,
because you can't compare
the two.
You can appreciate the melting pot of Maui.
Right.
Once you've been in. I mean, I've been to other countries. I've been to other parts of the mainland. I've
for sure.
I've milked cows with the Amish. I've Japan.
You too?
I've done it. Milk straight from the cow is awesome. The best there is. I've seen them bathing with, because they don't have electricity, so they don't have hot water. They bathe outside. I mean, it's just, it was, but those experiences is
some
what makes you.
Wild times.
I know, right?
Man, some wild right? times in Amishtown.
Your face right. just lit Woo! Up there.
Yeah,
I was 12 years old.
Man. I tell you, sir, have you not heard of Louis Pasteur and that whole pasteurization thing? I don't know how too healthy it is. You live on the edge. On the edge.
Yep. But by coming to Hawaii, I can appreciate Maui and the ability to raise my kids the way I want to here that it offers. I wish the schools were better.
Amen to that,
but,
sir.
I couldn't claim that. Without going through all those other cultures.
I can see Collector Jay walking down the street with his kid, and you're looking at his kid, and everybody looks at his kid and goes, yeah, Hawaiian. Yeah, he's pointing at his kid.
No, my son comes home. My son has come home a couple days and said, you know, no one believes him, and they always call him a liar because he says he's part Hawaiian.
Yeah, right.
But he looks completely white. I was going to say blue devil, but that's not nice to say about your own kid.
No. It's blue-eyed devil.
Blue-eyed devil.
There you go.
which I feel bad for him. Right. I'm like, you got to tell him, I am. My mom's Hawaiian. You want me to bring her down here? She'll whoop your butt. She's Hawaiian. But anyways, back to the culture. You can't appreciate what you have unless you either have lost it or have seen what else is out there.
Absolutely. And maybe that's an issue here too. I never thought of it that way, but I think you experience so much culture here and it's so infused that you don't know which is what. And I think, and to me, I find that fine. I have no issue with that whatsoever. If I want to explore my history as a Scotsman, which I have, my forefathers in Scotland were MacArthurs, and I know my tartan.
They make good furniture.
They do. Fantastic furniture. That's racist, by the way.
It's a company on Oahu that makes furniture.
I'm just kidding.
It's
MacArthur's.
A compliment.
It's a compliment.
Oh, it's okay. I'm just kidding. But anyway, I really think that.
Don't sue me.
Getting back to center here, considering the fact that these people have made these comments in their emails from Sony, I think what's very important to know is that those conversations are still private. And I think there has to be some kind of expectation of privacy, even in emails, for sure. So is it wrong that this stuff is getting leaked? Sure. Is it wrong that we report it? I would have to say that we talk about it a lot because it has to do with what we do. Is it wrong that we report about, say, Django Unchained and the Zorro crossover movie? Possibly. I would think so. I think movies getting leaked out is one thing, but somebody's private emails is a completely different issue altogether, yep. Regardless if it's racist statements or not. But of course, if this were somebody.
Social security numbers.
Exactly.
Mailing addresses.
Exactly.
Phone numbers.
Absolutely.
I mean, paychecks. I mean, back in the day, you never talked about what you got paid.
Well, look, it's gotten so bad now that if you could scroll up on that story so I can just give it to everyone. Oh, is this it right here? Oh, you're right. It's right there. The Sony hacking scandal just took a dark and disturbing turn in this respect. The responsible parties officially released a message this morning, which was yesterday morning, promising 9/11-style attacks on any movie theaters that show the upcoming Seth Rogen and James Franco comedy, The Interview. It says, this is the quote from Variety that was published from the, I'm assuming, the Guardians of Peace. They said, we clearly show it to you at the very time and places the interview be shown, including the premiere, how bitter fate those who seek fun in terror should be doomed to. Soon all the world will see what an awful movie Sony Pictures Entertainment has made. The world will be full of fear. Remember the 11th of September 2001? We recommend you keep yourself distant from the places at that time. If your house is nearby, you'd better leave, which is weird. Mm-hmm. Whatever comes in the coming days is called by the greed of Sony Pictures Entertainment. All the world will denounce the Sony, which is a very weird statement, right? But
they obviously not adapt with English when they wrote that.
And that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Ironically enough, the premiere has been canceled due to this for the interview
well,
in New
I think
York
it's
City.
That second sentence, how bitter fate those who seek fun and terror should be doomed to. But
ironic, isn't
exactly
it?
It's exactly the same Harris. Thing. It's
ironic.
And the greed of Sony, it's like, really? You guys are... I get dumbfounded by people who make these statements that contradict themselves.
But you're trying to make an equivalency between releasing emails and hacking and then literally killing people.
No, this is a whole new level.
There's no equivalency there.
How they're going to hit though every movie theater that opens the show is ridiculous.
If I'm honest, these feel like hollow threats. I mean, I'm not going to say yeah they're hollow threats, but these we certainly feel that these are hollow threats.
I mean, after the Batman massacre in a movie theater, right. I mean,
people are very sensitive, and that was in Colorado.
Yes, it was
very sensitive to the fact that a place that's supposed to be safe, that you go with families. And Christmas
Day. But
then
again, let's be honest, though. I mean, not to equate it. The man in Colorado that did that was not a terrorist. He was simply out of his mind.
He was out of his... But it was the fact that it was in a movie theater.
For sure.
Has already tainted the whole aspect of this. Plus, it's on Christmas Day.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people go to movies on Christmas Day because that's the only thing open on that day.
Yeah.
Unless you're Walmart or Kmart.
Right.
So, I mean, for them to even make this threat... if you want to lambast Obama for, I mean, something needs to be done with these people. They need to find them.
Amber and I had a little back and forth on Nerdwatch about it. She made a comment and then I tried to correct her.
Well, so. I had something I wanted to say, but I deleted it because the president gets his daily or weekly
briefs sure.
doesn't mean he is going to understand. He's not a war or military or, you have to have that experience be able to foresee actions, reactions, and maybe I'm watching too much Sherlock.
That's a valid
This one you don't have to foresee anything. No. You've been told
But what I'm
was
saying is, I mean, like, they're supposed to see steps ahead. What we get is residual for example, the people, our governor that's in place was already decided upon 4 years ago by their respective parties who they're going to support.
Who they're going to run for the candidacy.
Exactly. So they're already working on in 4 years who they're going to do. What we see is the aftermath of that. So we're not seeing...
Are you talking about the guy that's being elected, the Hawaii governor that will be the governor-elect in January or become governor? Or are you talking about the guy who's currently sitting, the communist Neil Abercrombie?
I think she's talking in general.
In general, parties plan four years in advance.
He's
the Hawaii governor, by the way.
4 years, 8 years. I mean, it doesn't matter. So the information that Obama gets is not necessarily... what we hear or understand.
See, and that's what I'm saying.
But his background is not in international, specifically Middle East stuff. So, I mean, I don't know what his specialty is.
You know what his specialty is? Community organizing. That's his specialty.
Public speaking.
Yeah, he's good at that.
Well, only when he's running.
But I mean, listen, you asked, your comment on the Nerd Watch was interesting because you said, where's all this money for our TSA and things of that nature? Well, they just signed a bill that only funds TSA until January of 2015. Well, that's one of the biggest problems here is that, we do have a threat that he seems to not understand. And like I said in my comments when I made it was that when he took office, terrorism and the like, even like this, was on life support. Obama has done his best to resuscitate it and by not taking action. But the thing is that that's what we have CIA in place for and the FBI. And we have all of these central intelligence agencies to do these things to tell him, hey, listen, Mr. President, this is a possibility. He was told about ISIS 2 years before it was supposed to happen, years ago. So I'm guessing, and this is a total spitball, I can guarantee you somebody briefed him that Sony stuff is going to get leaked. It's already out there. I can guarantee that they knew before we did. Is that a safe assessment?
Good assumption. Yeah.
So if we knew that, there's nothing that he could do about it at that point, right? You can't do anything unless it becomes an actual threat.
By then it's too late.
And by then it's already too late. So I mean, like I said, I'm not laying it at the feet of the president, but I'm also laying it at the feet of the president.
But at the same time, he is accountable to some degree to the citizens' perspective.
I agree.
Because at the end of the day, his presidency will end and his family will have to answer sure. when they walk down the street to people pointing and yelling at them, like, why did you do that? And there's a lot of things that we don't see or know about.
Right.
You know, that they deal with.
And I'll be honest with you, this threat itself is less fearful than the threats that are already that have already been assessed to the president. These this threat is a lot less fearful for me than the actual threats that have been given to the president that say that there is going to be some kind of terrorist attack in this country within the next year.
Right, because this feels like a prank.
It does.
It feels like an
does.
Elaborate and a very effectively put on prank. And hopefully that's all it is. I mean, honestly, this is Nostradamus speaking again, and I'll say that my prediction, my ultimate prediction is what's going to happen is that the file for the interview will be out there everywhere on Christmas Day. It'll be like the easiest thing to download. It'll be all over the net. That's what I'm predicting they'll do. That's honestly what I'm predicting. They're making it sound like it's some big catastrophic thing. It's really just going to be this gigantic prank. And I certainly, obviously, I hope that's all it comes to it. But this is interesting because bottom line is this has been a very effectively carried out hack. Of all people, Seth Rogen and James Franco, I think, said it perfectly on the Howard Stern show. This has gone exactly as they intended, with each morsel of information being put out there, the way we've been reacting to it. I mean, we really have been kind of playing into the hands of the Guardians of Peace, unfortunately, with the mm-hmm. way this has been carried out.
Absolutely.
So it's like, that's the thing that's always been so fascinating to me about this whole thing. It seems like this is at this point, it's just about damage control.
Absolutely.
And well, I think, too, I hope it's just a prank.
Yeah.
But with things like this, you always have to take them seriously as if they're not.
Absolutely.
You would hate for it to be true, and then all of a sudden, why wasn't anything done?
Well, that's why when you make
that's the problem.
That's why the FBI does the same thing. If you were to make a threat towards the president, they always take that very seriously, for sure. So in this respect, we know that the hack is real. We hope that there's no capability of doing anything violent against any nation, regardless, for these terrorists, for sure, because they are right now they are cyber terrorists in this respect.
And they're committing a character assassination of Sony.
Correct.
That's the thing that's interesting because this whole thing it's playing
maybe,
into. I mean,
maybe it's MGM or another
rival studio.
No.
Yeah.
But what's interesting to me about all this is it's going with
Fox.
With well, what's really like the thing in society that is so totally unacceptable, and we've been talking about this, the notion that someone is bigoted. There's nothing in Hollywood that is more politically incorrect than being bigoted. To go with the obvious example, I love Roman Polanski's films, but what he did is excusable in the eyes of most in Hollywood.
His lifestyle choice, you mean?
Yes. Mel Gibson, brilliant director in a very different way. Mm-hmm. What he did is considered inexcusable. Mm-hmm. He is not to work in Hollywood ever again because of his being bigoted.
Unless you're Tony Stark and you want him to direct the next Iron Man movie.
Which is awesome.
Which is a possibility.
But the thing is that there is a difference between – and this is unfortunate. There's a difference. We always have to say – Are you responsible for your actions when you're drunk, in Mel Gibson's respect? But these people, for the bigotry.
It depends on what those actions are.
That's the problem I'm saying here.
That's the problem.
Are you laying an equivalency of what Mel said to this? Or?
I'm saying that it's interesting that we've turned this around to being, oh my God, they got hacked, to, hey, look at the bigoted thing that studio had said.
I agree.
Oh my God, let's
wag
our fingers at them. Yeah. I mean, to me, that feels like, wow, I'm sure the hackers looked at the transcript and said, hey, look at this, guys. We're going to. People are going to lose their jobs.
And
job
it's the funniest is nothing was actually said outright.
Right.
It was insinuated.
Right.
Sure.
Or twisted. Mm-hmm. Or spun in a certain way to fit the
narrative.
Exactly. So they didn't come out and say this bleepity blank blank blank. This person does this. You know, they're no good because of this. And
sure.
But it plays like that in the media when the headline
but,
is Leonardo DiCaprio called despicable.
He was
quotations.
Called despicable. Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but then again, we always have to remember this, that if the shoe were on the other foot, right? So let's say that, we know that Hollywood is pretty darn liberal. If a conservative guy's emails were hacked and he had said something in any way off color, would that not make the headline news? And would he not have lost his job?
Well, he would have.
He would have, for sure. So with that, in that respect, that's why I think that privacy of email is definitely important, and I think that's something that we should look at in the near future as far as being a possibly – considering the fact that that's how communications are now, it should be considered a federal offense at this point, for sure. Now, we do have We have Professor Barry, and we all can do this shortly, of the memories of movies that we like to watch on Christmas and movies that aren't necessarily considered Christmas movies but are. But before we get to that, I hope everybody's done their shopping. If not, Amber has brought a list of fun, nerd techie ideas that you could do this Christmas. That if you're looking for last minute stocking stuffers, maybe. Would that be correct?
These aren't stockings.
Oh, okay. These are like huge money buys.
These toys for big boys.
Oh man! All right. So Amber, on your nerd Christmas list, what have you come up with that the nerds can get their hands on that is worth having in their homes?
Okay, so for fun things that these are not new or things you've never heard of,
sure.
But they're worth. At the end of the year, you might find a reason to call it a tax write-off. Somehow.
Look at you, you financial advisor, or married to a financial advisor.
I'm Asian.
That's right. Good job.
So everyone has known about drones or quads or UAVs. You can get the Phantom 1 starting at $450 or the new Phantom 2 starting at $670. We have a local on-island DJI authorized seller
of drones.
Multirotor Maui.com. It's Harry, and he will help you build it, spec it, whatnot.
Now, does Harry want a drone?
Is Harry aware of this publicity? I mean, is Harry going right now? Like, we.
No, it's totally legit. Everything is out in the open. I also have a friend who is Brian. He builds more advanced and programs a lot more advanced
drones.
This
is super techie.
This is super. Like, he does legitimate, like, really ultra quiet or super tiny or super huge drones.
You could make movies of other people and them not even know it.
Let's not talk about that right now. We're talking about Christmas gifts. We have, in our house, two drones. One has six propellers that are being built, and one is a Phantom 1.
Wow.
Anyhow,
look at you.
We use it, we enjoy it, but I have also personally been harassed by someone else who has a drone. So let's just be conscientious of using
it. Drone wars, huh?
It's already begun.
Drone wars.
Is your son? You got a little boy. Can he like sit on the drone while it flies around?
It's not that big, but
because you're adding the propellers,
you can YouTube it and build a drone with everyday items that is big enough.
Drones are kind of noisy, to be honest.
They're noisy.
They're quite
noisy.
So that's a cool gift idea.
Right. So
drones.
$450.
Wow, that's drones. Wow.
That's a big boy gift.
That is a big boy gift.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that, mm-hmm. Amber. All right, what else on your list?
The GoPro. You know, the GoPro Hero 3 Plus. They just came out with the Hero 4 Plus. But, you know, it's not worth it to get the 4 Plus for your everyday user. Because of what it offers is a lot more, but visually you can't see it or tell the difference unless you're investing in it. Mm. So the 3 is now at $249.
That's reasonable.
Right. The 4 starts at $399.
That's still reasonable.
It's still reasonable, but is it worth it to, you know, go buy a new one if you have a 3?
Do you think it is worth it at this point?
If you don't have one, go get the
4
Plus,
the 4 Plus.
Black. If you get the 4 Plus Silver, it has the touchscreen viewfinder.
Listen, you brought yours, and I want to get one for the Nerd Watch for sure, because this is the wave of the future. Everybody's bringing around Heroes.
But
it's
the
crazy.
4 has true HD.
Ooh.
True 4000.
K.
K.
4K HD.
Yeah, 4K HD.
Ooh, nice.
It's a little bit heavier than the 3.
4K for $400. That's not bad.
That's right.
That's not a bad deal.
Okay, and then what is you can truly justify as a tax write-off is a phone. So the iPhone 6 Plus.
Listen, I just a little side note.
Yeah.
You and your husband are doing my taxes this year.
We don't do taxes.
Oh,
but we won't. We can refer you to
I
a
can
few
refer
people.
Us good.
Yeah. So if
are they Asian?
One is.
Okay, good. Okay.
One is mixed.
I just wanted to make sure to keep on this whole track.
She's Chinese.
Okay, she's Chinese.
She's worth it.
Okay, fantastic.
So if you have the iPhone 6, it's not worth it to get the 6 plus.
Interesting.
Even though the megapixel on the camera is about 1.2 or something better, it's mm-hmm. it's not worth it. But if you have the 5, then get the 6 plus.
Wow.
All right. And then if you are not a iPhone lover, I would do the Samsung Note 4.
Yes.
If you have the Note 3, get rid of it, get the 4.
Interesting, and why is that?
Because the 4 has a better platform.
Mm.
You don't crash like the 3.
Mm-hmm.
The battery doesn't die like the 3.
I'm a 3. I'm a 3
and,
guy.
And it's a
and
much...
I changed my battery.
And the stylus from the 3, from the 2 to the 3 was a big difference.
Ooh.
Did you experience that?
I have.
Okay.
I've seen them both.
And the 4 is great.
Okay.
So right. It is definitely worth upgrading from 3 to 4 for the Note.
Okay.
And if you can't afford the Note, then I'd say the Samsung Alpha. It has the same platform as the Note 4.
Ooh, crazy. Now, Collector J, you're obviously you're a Mac guy. It's, it would be what I called, if I brought in a PC, it would be macrilege. This is riveting tech talk, isn't it, Professor Barry?
Oh, yes, and I want to add that my phone actually,
phone flips!
It flips, and it has the ability,
AT&T phone.
It can tell me what time it is, and it looks like I can talk to the Enterprise.
Barry, you know what, you might make fun of it, but there are times every day that I wish I had your phone.
Yeah.
Wow, yep. That's crazy.
Yeah. And, right. And if I get my daughter a phone again, it will be that phone.
It'll be that phone. Yep. Crazy. All right, so let's get through this list really quick.
Okay.
What else we got on here?
The other thing
holiday list for
is
nerds.
The 3D printer. Mm. You can go online and shop for one starting at $500. And, you know, they're fun. The expensive part is not the printer, just like all other printers, but the printing material.
Is more expensive,
right? More expensive.
Right.
We have a friend who owns the Cube, Cubify.com. The printer is $1,000. The ink, or not the ink, the plastic is $50 a pop. Per color.
Man!
And you gotta buy, like, all these other things to go in there.
So you can literally make your own iPhone.
You can make your own.
Not working.
But it's great for people who are artists, creators, designers, because then you can create.
You can
product.
Make your own plastic gun, from what I heard.
Because like people who design,
that's what I'm
does
in,
work.
That's what I'm interested work. In. It's workable.
Yeah.
And no serial numbers.
And the other item that people were talking about are the computer watches. I don't recommend computer watches.
Are you a computer watch guy?
No.
Because they're really
I also
not computers.
Believe in functionality, and there's no
they're,
functionality.
They're not really computers. Mm. I mean, the two that are out in the market, the LG G Watch and the Motorola Moto 360, they run on Android because it's a touchscreen.
Sure.
The Motorola starts at 100. The LG is 230. It's like a fitness watch. That's what it's being utilized for.
I'm allergic to fitness.
GPS,
anything with fitness in it.
You can track your route, you stick it on a dock, and it transfers data to your computer. You really can't do much. It's
right.
not a true computer as you think it would be. It can't replace your phone.
Right. So now we're going to see Apple get into this, into the whole digital watch fray, or I should say computer watch fray.
Right, in 2015.
In 2015 with the Apple Watch. So, all right, so you would say that a computer watch is it would be the side dish to the main course if you had an extra.
It's a waste of money.
So you're saying not to get it.
No.
So why is it on your list, Amber?
Because everybody says, you know, oh, let's try something new, or everything is a positive. Why not say, hey, if you're shopping, you see computer watch and you want to get it for your nerd
boyfriend. I think the technical term is smartwatch.
Smartwatch.
Not computer watch.
Very good.
Sorry, I hate to correct.
Well, look,
oh,
I thought
okay.
who thought? Well, Apple. I could have swore. I thought Apple was going to call it the iWatch. They call it the Apple Watch.
Yeah.
So strange. But anyway, Amber, thank you so much for holiday, your holiday Christmas.
I do want to point out something.
What do you want to point out?
There are some websites.
Yes.
Try VAT19.com.
Uh-huh.
It's a fun site to shop for gifts for geeks. Obviously, always ThinkGeek.com.
ThinkGeek.com is fantastic.
Newegg.com is fun for people
always.
Who like to build things.
Always.
For your young kids, 4 and under, mm-hmm. GameGearsToys.com.
4 and under, keep them off the computer.
That's a good idea, too.
Right, but if you got to get guests for them, GameGearsToys.com.
Oh, getting guests for them. Got it. I thought you meant for 4-year-olds to go on.
Right. And then for your older kids or even some adults, Arduino.com, .cc. You can build your own computer. You can build, like, you get these Arduinos, which are little motherboards kind of thing.
You're so, no longer our anime girl. You're our tech guru. That's it. So, we're done. I don't know.
I
she just went through a stuff.
No, I'm not.
Some stuff that's even too techy for me.
No, you might want to talk to Jay.
Yeah, I think that we'll have to discuss that one.
Now we're going to talk really quick, Professor Barry, and maybe you guys will sit here and reminisce just a little bit before we take off. We got a couple more things to get to. What should we be watching this Christmas, or what should we be watching? What should we be watching every Christmas this time of year?
The one I always go back to, oddly enough, is the 1994 remake of Miracle on 34th Street. I've always liked it, and in fact, I think I actually prefer it to the original film.
No way.
I love Richard Attenborough. Edward Gwynn won the Oscar for the original, and he was magnificent, but I think Attenborough, for me, is the definitive Santa Claus. I love the film. Mm. I really do.
And I hated it.
You hated the remake?
I hated the remake. I could not stand it. I thought that she was too cutesy. I didn't like it. Not a big fan. That was Sir Richard Attenborough.
Yep.
I think it's because he's colorblind, so he likes the black and white version.
It might be.
I don't know.
First of all, there's not enough. First of all, there's not enough diversity in that Santa. I wanted a black Santa, so whatever. But no, and quite honest, that was actually. Was that who directed it? Was that?
It was Les Mayfield. Les Mayfield. It was written by John Hughes.
Les Mayfield's the same genius that brought us Encino Man.
It is.
Yeah. Which is a much better film than Miracle on 34th Street.
It's a very
in my opinion.
Different film.
So, okay, so traditionally, what about you, Collector Jay? What's in your house on Christmas? What movies are in your house on Christmas?
Well, my wife usually picks them. If I were to think back as a kid, it's Nightmare Before Christmas. Is a good one.
Hate it.
But we started watching, like, we had the Rockettes playing.
Oh!
Which was really fun. It's a documentary about the Rockettes.
Right, the Christmas at
Radio City Music Hall.
Radio City Music Hall.
So we were watching that the other day. There's really no...
As a kid, that was...
Charlie Brown.
Oh, Charlie Brown Christmas. I hate
we
that.
We actually
too.
Had a Charlie Brown Christmas tree one year, a few years ago.
Really? Oh, you did?
It was given to us by my grandmother. She's very artsy.
That's become big business now, those Christmas trees, Christmas trees.
I mean, this grandma she actually owns an original Picasso in her house.
Whoa.
She's an art fanatic. So her Christmas tree she gave us, you would think would be nice and full. No, it was a Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
So what's her address
before it
again?
Became popular? I'm not saying.
Okay, when did she leave her door unlocked?
No, right? It's in a gated community.
Okay, good. It's gated. Oh, yeah. So she's got to be a white person, no. Right?
I'll send my drone in.
I'll send my drone in.
She is a white person. It's okay.
Those Charlie Brown Christmas trees.
I don't care what color she
getting
is.
Back
as long
to
as
them.
I'm in the will.
Yeah, as long as you're in the will. Those Charlie Brown Christmas trees have become big business. That one, that one branch with the ornament on it.
The
it's
wilting
very cute.
Ones, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, it's kitschy.
Yeah, it's very kitschy. Yes. I never liked that as a kid.
Usually it's whatever's on TV. Mm. As far as, we don't have any sit down and have to watch Christmas movies.
All right.
Because sitting down and watching a movie during Christmas is actually counterproductive to
that's
the
very
essence
true.
Of Christmas.
But no, but not on Christmas. In the whole season. It's just not Christmas.
I know,
it's just a season.
If I might say that, a little less TV would be good for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You're not talking like a nerd, so...
It doesn't matter.
Boo-hoo
you can be
to you.
The watching TV doesn't make you a nerd.
Bah, humbug. All right, so now, you. Yeah, you, Amber. Listen, other than apparently the village that you grew up in when you were a child, I'm assuming that you didn't have very many of these Christmas movies. But now that you are here, what do you watch during the Christmas season?
Marco Polo. I told you. Wow. We watched it twice.
So there's no traditions for the for your little one that you watch? Like, do you watch Charlie Brown Christmas, or is there any Christmas?
I grew up watching all that. I love it. I enjoy it. I watched Curious George's Christmas before it was Christmas. We've been watching Mickey Mouse Christmas in July.
I forgot the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, that whole series.
That
the
whole
Rankin
and Bass series?
I
old
love
stop
all the
claymation style. But it was actually animated, though, but it's not clay.
It's claymation. Stop motion. I hated that,
that was
too.
Good.
Yeah, Mr. Poopy Pants. I hated that. That's because
I'm a humbug.
We all know.
I know. I'm the humbug guy here.
And he's a Christian.
So what do you watch?
I hated the Santa Claus is Coming to Town. That's the one. Remember with Fred Astaire?
Yes.
He was in there as the delivery man.
That's
hated
lame.
Rudolph. This session isn't what we hate. What do you like?
What do you like? What are we recommending?
All right. Well, here. If I'm very much a traditionalist when it comes to these things, and
Die Hard 1, 2, and 3.
I love Die Hard 1 and 2. Those are two great Christmas movies.
Lethal Weapon, great Christmas movie.
Yeah. Just because there's snow and it's Christmas time doesn't make it a Christmas movie.
Right. I will say that when I was growing up as a kid, there were a couple of things that were in my house. Of course, everyone knows that It's a Wonderful Life is one of those things that I grew up watching. Love that movie. Always have. You appreciate it the older you get. The second one is, I think it's a perennial classic and should be considered the greatest adaptation of A Christmas Carol ever made. And I think every household should own it and every household should watch it every year. And that is Alistair Sim's A Christmas Carol, or what is called Scrooge. Fantastic film from 1951, I believe. Alistair Sim, it's the British version of the story. Amazing. It is fantastic. Alistair Sim is an amazing actor. It's emotionally gripping. It will make you, at the end of the movie, it'll make you weep. It is so good. It is amazingly good. I love that. I even like the George C. Scott one that was on
TV. It's my favorite. Yeah.
Nothing says Christmas more than weeping.
Well, that's because you weep with happiness. Because
it's a happiness
joy.
Weeping.
Well,
you
weep with joy in the film because of Alistair.
I think
you
should have said weep with happiness.
He is such a great actor in that movie. I don't know if you ever saw that one.
Yeah, it's great.
I love that
one.
It's my favorite. But, of course, the other one, of course, being A Christmas Carol, like I said, with George C. Scott, which is underappreciated, I think.
I agree.
I think that's a great movie. Also, everyone knows it, but I love A Christmas Story. Love.
It's a perfect
love
film.
Love A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
There is nothing better at Christmas time that makes you know it is the season other than A Christmas Story. And that's another movie that you really connect to. It's a movie based in the 50s, but you watch it now and you still can connect to that film.
Yep.
Great stuff. Peter Billingsley, is it?
Right? It is, right. Yeah.
The late, great Darren McGavin, who I love.
Perfect.
He was fantastic. He was the Night Stalker, by the way,
Colt
in the 70s. Colt Jack.
Yep.
I love that series. Great film. Perfect film for sure. Now, those are some of the classics that I used to, that I still watch, that I still love. What are the things that you watch that aren't necessarily you would consider Christmas movies? We named two of them, Die Hard 1 and 2, Lethal Weapon 1. For sure. Love that movie. There's nothing that says Christmas like a woman that drug overdoses that jumps from a balcony.
I want my 2-year-old to grow up
back. Yeah, there you go. So, Professor Barry, what is on your list of unconventional Christmas fodder?
I always like to watch the Christmas episodes from Twilight Zone and from Tales from the Dark Side and Tales from the Crypt. Tales from the Crypt, that's the one that Robert Zemeckis directed all through the house.
Yes!
With Crazy Santa.
Good one!
Watch that. Tales from the Dark Side was an episode written by Michael McDowell, who wrote Beetlejuice. I think the title, it's about the Grither. It's with E.G. Marshall. He's the guy who creates this anti-Santa Claus. He's telling his kids that this guy's going to come and get them. And over the course of the night, you're wondering, will the Grither show up? It's a terrific episode, Tales from the Dark Side. And then Twilight Zone, both the 80s version and the original version. Of course, the episode with Art Carney, the one about the Santa Claus with the sack that he gives to the homeless people. I love that episode.
That is an amazing episode.
Yeah.
That was an episode where, not to get too deep in it, but that was an episode where CBS pulled a little bit of the funding from the Twilight Zone, and that's why it doesn't look as good as the other ones.
Yeah.
And that's one of the greatest episodes ever.
Yeah.
Love that episode. Yep. I will say that as far as unconventional, I will say one of my favorites, and people are going to freak out. This is from the 70s. It was called Black Christmas.
Oh, I love that film.
That's
awesome. Bob Clark, the director of A Christmas Story.
Yeah. And Porky's, no less.
Yep.
Made a movie starring Olivia Hussey called Black Christmas. It is very much a first for its time, other than, of course, Peeping Tom, which came back in the 60s.
Yeah.
But it's very first for its time where we saw a film from the killer's perspective. And it was based around Christmas. Now it's almost quaint, but it's a very, it's very scary, a little slow moving for sure.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, but yeah, it is quite terrifying. An amazing film for sure. Black Christmas, if you're looking for something not necessarily happy, that's the one to go
if
with.
If you hate Christmas, you can't get any better than Black Christmas.
You can't get any
watch
better.
Black Christmas and Gremlins back to back. Yeah, feel
Gremlins.
Really,
oh, that's another unconventional one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing that there's nothing that says Christmas like that. That horribly, which I think is disturbing, song that na 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 na. Oh man,
especially talking about Mrs. Deagle going through her roof.
Oh yeah, nothing compares.
I like Jack Frost. That was a good one.
You like, which, the one with Michael Keaton?
Really?
The horror movie.
Oh, the horror movie, oh. Jack Frost.
I was thinking of No Dad is a Snow Dad or whatever.
There is one movie that is on the list, that or on my list, that I recommend to people, that is from, I believe it's from Sweden, called Rare Exports.
Excellent film. I like that one a lot.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
Not conventional in any stretch of the imagination, but let's just say it deals with the North Pole and a very different Santa Claus.
Very inventive movie.
Very inventive. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, you should. I believe it's still on Netflix.
It is.
You should watch it. It is very, very good during this time of year. I think you'll be thoroughly impressed at how good it is. So, but anyway, yeah, that's, you know, if you're going to watch a holiday movie or a Christmas movie this season, do so with our picks for sure. Whatever you do, in my opinion, you have to see A Christmas Carol from 1951. I know it is not the most up-to-date kind of film, but it is an amazing piece of cinema that I think everybody should watch for sure. All right, Collector J, we got two more things to talk about since TV's on hiatus and Professor Barry has got to bid us all adieu. Thanks, Professor Barry.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It. We'll see you. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right.
Until then, Merry Christmas to all.
Mele Kalikimaka to all.
Mele Kalikimaka to all of your family as well.
Yes.
And your dog. So.
Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. To
are you? All. By the way, really quick, are you going to wrap up a bone for your dog this Christmas?
And a little rubber. Yes.
Yes. All righty, Barry. Sounds good.
See you soon.
All righty. So. Really quickly here, we'll get through the releases. Since there's no TV, it's all on hiatus until we get to next month. First off, let's get through our Blu-ray releases for the day. This week came out Ninja Turtles, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, in both Blu-ray and 3D Blu-ray. If you have not seen it, our review is actually up on our podcast website or our podcast on our MaliWatch app. We did an actual podcast review of it. Not great. Are you a big turtle fan?
I grew up on turtles.
You did?
Yep.
Did you ever consider yourself a turtle or April O'Neil?
Turtle. So I was Raphael.
Nice.
All right. I always wanted Donatello.
Oh, nice.
I didn't like his getup. That whole computer.
Yeah, the headgear.
Thing. I mean, yeah, it was cool technology, but
yeah,
that's
bad.
Not what Donatello. Yeah.
You can't be a ninja with that bulky headgear.
Yeah, you can't. You can't be a
turtle. Well, you can if you're 12 feet tall.
A turtle, yes. A ninja, no. All right? So Turtles has come out on Blu-ray and DVD. If you haven't seen it, it is worth a watch, definitely, if you're at home watching it. It's good to see. Also coming
They have
out,
a collector's edition.
They do. It comes with ninja masks.
What's this one here?
Oh, yeah. There's more than a
figure.
Yeah, with a Raphael statue in it. It's an Amazon exclusive. So you can check that out as well. Also on Blu-ray today is The Maze Runner. That is based on another young adult fiction novel.
I saw that, and Barry saw that and said he liked it. I actually enjoyed it too.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, I got to see it then.
It was definitely better than the other one that came out before this.
Oh, and Divergent.
Divergent, yes.
All right,
way
so,
better than that.
So The Maze Runner, I got to watch that.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to the next one.
Done deal. You watch Maze Runner?
No.
Okay, I'm going to see that then.
Okay.
Next one. I only mention this because two things. Because it's one of my favorite movies. It's starring Scott Bakula, and it's written by Clive Barker and directed by Clive Barker. The Lord of Illusions is out on Blu-ray today. I have got to pick that up. If you've never seen it, you should. It is a very good horror movie. It's got good story. It's got good substance. It has a good feel to it. If you are a horror movie fan, you should watch it. Lord of Illusions on Blu-ray today is an amazing movie. Haven't seen that in a long time. Then last on this list of important Blu-ray releases this week, few weeks ago, Batman, the original series, was released on Blu-ray in a collector's edition with the Batmobile.
Correct.
Now, they have released it yet again. By the way, just to let you know, there were a couple of mistakes with the actual Blu-ray discs themselves. Replacement discs if you have it now. But also, now they've released the complete series without the collector's edition portion to it. It's a little bit cheaper and totally worth having if you don't have it.
It's $180, and it's, you know what? I actually listened to Chris Hardwick had a podcast where he had why is his name escaping me right now?
Bruce Wayne.
No.
Oh.
Batman. He had Batman.
Dick Grayson.
On there.
Oh, you mean Adam West.
Adam West on there. And they were talking about this show, and I didn't realize it says only three seasons, but they were doing two shows a week.
A week, yeah.
For so it's 120 right. episodes.
There's 30 episodes a season or 30 episodes a season, I think, or something like that.
No, it's more like there's 30 weeks. So I think there's 180 episodes.
Good Lord, for three seasons?
For three seasons. I mean, so you actually, Adam West talks about what it was like going through that. But I didn't realize, although I saw the show, I didn't realize there was that many episodes.
Now I feel bad how hot it was in that suit that whole time.
If you compare their three seasons, you have as much content as what? Eight seasons of today's show.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Discouraged, but if you're not a Batman fan and don't know about this stuff, don't be discouraged. Like, there's only three seasons.
Are you picking this up?
I will. I want to get the collector's one, so I'm saving my scrap.
You're saving your scrap.
Hold on. One second.
So anyway, that has come out. The Batman on Blu-ray Blu-ray is out today without the collector's edition. And it is one of those shows that if you've never seen it before, you should. And if you have seen the show and if you're a Batman fan or a Bat fan, it is definitely something that you should pick up for sure. And that's it for our Blu-ray releases for the week. Now, finally, in the show today, we have some... we have the last thing on our list is this whole Collector J wanted to speak about it, and I guess we will. Not only has the expansion for Destiny come out, now that we've had a week or so to play it, I think Collector J does have the expansion. It is The Dark Below. Destiny is already we've got the raid, we've done the missions. Now they've already done patching for this new DLC. This has become quite an issue with Bungie. They're having these issues with leveling gear. If you're interested, they're having these issues with leveling guns. It's completely changed. The whole store has changed. The whole outlook of Destiny has changed from when it first started in September. So this has become. Quite an interesting game in and of itself that I think everybody should take a gander at. It's a very different game altogether. So what did you you got the expansion right for the Dark Below?
I have the expansion.
And what did you?
Well, last week I talked about the storyline being so short, but what I ended up doing was the urn of.
The Urn of Sacrifice or whatever.
The Urn of Sacrifice. And that was actually a really
that's the one from Xur.
From Xur. And the great thing about that is it gives you legendary armor at the end of it, but you have to wait for Xur to show up. So I finished it Sunday, so now I'm holding on to it until he shows up again on Friday. Which is ridiculous.
Crazy, wrong. Right? I wonder if he's going to... I wonder if he's going to show up for Christmas.
I don't know. Maybe.
I'm wondering.
Everything free. But then also, the last couple
everything
nights...
Everything free, that'd be fantastic.
The last couple nights, I got one... through that storyline, you get one... I got a legendary helmet piece. But it's for a Titan class.
Oh, yeah. I've done that, too.
And it's like, why would
you mean exotic piece.
An exotic piece. And why would you ever get something for another class with a story in a storyline, especially?
Can I tell you why? Because they want you to build another class. What they're essentially we talk
but
about.
Can I use that exotic piece on a level one person?
No.
I got to get him up to 20.
You got to get him up to 20. Here's the thing: is that we talk about Destiny a lot on this show because that seems to be the game of note this season. Because not even Call of Duty is making this much noise.
Right.
Advanced Warfare, which I played and which I'm still.
But liking. I've been killing it. I was afraid to do the Iron Banner event because it removes. The level
and
I've been killing it
and it's back. It's
I'm
back.
Doing it right it just, now. Yeah, it's I'm it's doing back. It and I've been killing it.
All right,
like
all right.
I'm getting 1.5 kill death ratio.
Your clan 22. Must certainly be happy about that.
They actually all disappeared. I don't know. They haven't logged on. They've been playing other games. So I'm like whatever. So I do my own thing. So I've been doing that. The thing that pissed me off was I saved up my 150 crucible marks because I already got two pieces of armor, so that's 65 each. Mm-hmm. Now I got up to 150. I get there to trade them in, and now I need a crucible commendation.
Yes, you do.
But I had already gotten my my faction rep already up to level three.
You need to get your
which
crucible.
If I had gotten that after it came out, I would have gotten my commendation for level three.
You would have.
But I had already passed that.
Yep.
So that pissed me off. So now I'm grinding again, getting my rep up to level four
and
for them.
And I think that that's the whole point. And this is what the bad thing about Destiny is.
It's the same old wash, rinse, and repeat.
It's the wash, rinse, and repeat grind thing, which is so maddening. But I think that there is
But now that I've gotten good at Crucible, I don't mind grinding.
I don't mind grinding multiplayer, for sure. I don't mind grinding. I don't even mind grinding the single player stuff as long as.
But I have
as
two pieces of exotic armor that I will never get the updates. I will never get to update all the way without getting certain Sela.
From my understanding, here's how it works. From my understanding, is that from the way Bungie wants you to play it, is because since your vault is accessible for all your characters, here's how it works. How it works is that now your vault, you have to run all of these different characters all at the same time, right? And then you can process strange coins together. You can trade, like what do they call it? Materials. You can trade materials and things of that nature for sure. So it's one of those things where you have an opportunity to do these things constantly over and over and over again, and it just becomes so.
I don't like repetition.
I don't want to build another character. I want to concentrate on the one that I have. That's how I am. But yet it seems like they're pushing me to make another character in order to get enough of these things, which is not something I want to do. I'm not interested in that. I want to concentrate.
So I'm happy with where – once I get that arm piece from turning in that final quest,
sure.
I'll hit 27. But I'm not going to ever – I'm not going to go and grind helium filaments on the moon.
There was a patch yesterday that brought me up to 30. I was at 29. They fixed the gear, and now I'm up to 30. And I didn't have to do anything.
See, I played at I logged on at around 9.
Wow.
Was the patch already out by then?
Yeah, you should check it out.
Well, I played after that.
Oh, you did?
So I don't know if it – it didn't make me any higher level.
Really?
Yeah.
It did me. It's crazy. They changed the gear up for the raids and everything. It was
I haven't
nuts.
Done any raids yet because I don't have a
– Maybe that's why.
I don't have any raid gear.
I have raid gear, even for the new one. But anyway, we're not. I'm not only playing Destiny this season. Are you playing any games other than your apps on your phone, Amber?
No.
No, she's just going to watch Marco Polo again. One more time.
I am.
Yeah, I figured you were. I'm still playing I'm still playing other stuff. I've tried to get in more Advanced Warfare gameplay. You know, the longer you play that, the more it becomes natural to be in those situations.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm enjoying it for what it is. I've leveled up to like 26, which is small potatoes considering everybody that's
prestiging. Yeah, I kind of stopped once I went back to Destiny.
I really enjoyed it. It's a good break for me. Destiny, of course, which I'm playing. I'm still playing Shadows of Mordor, which I can't get through because for as much as I love that game is long. Super long. So, by the way, in gaming news, really quick, if you are a GTA 5 person, they finally revealed the heists for online. It's going to be 4 people maximum, and it's going to be coming as of next year, from what I believe. So if you are into playing with people together on Grand Theft Auto, they're going to have that now. The heists are going to be there, which I'm very excited about. So anything else of note that you're playing other than Destiny? Just Destiny?
Yeah, I mean, I have my other ones, but I have a very limited time that I can play.
That's why I haven't finished anything. I'm
with
you, man.
I focus on one game. I don't play four.
That's the thing is that even for as much as I like, I have a very short attention span when it comes to games. I have to play something else or I get really.
Because once like the Batman game comes out in June, it will be nothing but.
It'll be nothing but Batman. I figured as much. I can't.
But whenever
those trailers are looking
that,
good, by the way, for Batman Arkham Knight, they're looking amazing.
They are.
I cannot
wait.
They just
better not keep pushing.
Are you excited for the Batman game?
I'm excited for Arkham.
Yeah, I'm really. I never.
They're coming out with a companion comic book series.
That's what I heard
on the Facebook. I have the Arkham City ones.
Cool.
I have the complete six.
I never played the Arkham Origins. I mean, I shouldn't say I never played it. I never finished it. I really like Arkham Origins, even if it's from a different studio. I was digging it a lot. So, did you play? You played the Arkham Asylum and the Arkham City, right?
Yes.
Did you? You did. You like it?
It was fun.
Amber likes it. Well, get up here on the mic and tell us all about it. So you,
there's
you're,
nothing to talk about.
You,
to me, it's
what's
like,
what system are you playing on? Just really quick.
PS3.
You're with Collector J on this. All right, I got it. I played it on the Xbox. So
I had an Xbox 360, and then just I bought one game, Army of Two.
That game's terrible.
I enjoyed it.
Which one?
The first one.
Oh, okay. The first
the
one's
very
good.
First one.
Yeah, the first one's good. The I thought you were talking about like the last one that came out.
No, first one. The 360 when it first came out.
Oh, when it first came out. Okay. Yeah.
I bought a couple games. I had Halo, but I never, you know, just bought that many games after that.
All right. So I guess the Christmas game of this season, if you're looking for one, is going to have to be Destiny if you have a console.
Not necessarily. I mean, you have. Not necessarily.
Don't you think so? I mean, but that seems to be the game everybody's playing.
But you want to... Everyone's playing it because there's not really much else to play.
That's true.
So you don't want to give a gift out of just to give a gift. I mean, depends on the age group. Batman, Lego game.
That's easy for grandparents to remember, though. Grandma, I want Destiny. That's all.
Grandma, give me a Visa gift card for $100.
I like that idea too. That's a good idea. I think that's what I'm gonna do.
The, supposedly, the what game came out that's supposed to be good? Season one for Game of Thrones.
I haven't played it yet.
Good.
I heard it's very good.
So,
Tales from the Borderland is supposed to be very good as well. Tales from the Borderland is another Telltale game, which is amazing. So you should definitely check that out for sure. But yeah, Collector J, keep grinding away at Destiny.
I'm doing really good at the Crucible. I'm whipping. My highest so far, I'm trying to get a 2.0 on the kill-death ratio. 1.88. With 26, I screenshot every good game that I get,
better
and then I had one.
Better
than
me,
I'm a hunter.
Sir.
I'm a hunter, and the max I've gotten with my special, I think, is 5.
Wow!
At once.
Wow!
And I see all of a sudden you get the little banners that pop up. Yeah, so that's really fun.
You're a beast.
I'm doing pretty well. I'm waiting to get poached by another clan.
Doggone it! Run the raid. You have.
I don't have any friends.
and that's
the downside of video games.
I know.
People,
it's horrible.
If you get into games, it's actually funny. My son told me that he wants to be one of two things when he grows up.
Okay.
Either a web developer,
uh-huh,
or an awesome video game player.
Oh, man.
So that will tell you how much I enjoy video games, but then it leads to I have no friends.
Right.
On
you
the
should tell him
system.
To be a game tester instead.
No, that's the worst job to have. If you like video games, do not be a tester.
Don't be a tester.
All right.
I mean, it's fun to try to break things, but when you have to go into every nook and cranny
and try and break everything,
forward, backwards, left, right, jump up. I mean, no, don't do it.
All right.
He did say video game designer.
Oh, good. That's cool.
Which would be good.
That could be big bucks.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Anyway, folks, that's it for the game section. You know, it is Christmas. We're taking the week off next week so everybody can spend some time with the family. We'll be back. What day was that, by the way, when we're coming back? Is that the 30th or the 31st?
Christmas is on a Thursday.
Thursday, right?
Thursday. So New Year's Day is
New
a Thursday.
New Year's Day.
New Year's Eve is Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Well, do you want to take 2 weeks off?
We might have to. Yeah.
I'm thinking that we should. What do you think? Well, we consider this whole 2 weeks as a holiday thing.
It's vacation. Who cares what it's called? It's time off.
By the way, speaking of...
And it's a reason to spend money.
Speaking of, that's another great show. Christmas Vacation. Chevy Chase.
That's the first time I heard Aloha Kalikimaka. Was during that movie.
Nice.
When I was 9.
Mele Kalikimaka.
My first,
that's too funny.
Yeah, Mele Kalikimaka.
That's
that was my first
funny.
Hawaiian experience.
Wow. All right, that's another movie to watch this Christmas season. Well, listen. What we'll do is this. Since it is the holiday, we'll take 2 weeks off. We will be back next year then, if that's the case. We want to send a big shout-out to one of our NerdWatch listeners and people that follow us on Facebook. Big congratulations goes out to Jason for winning himself a very cool very cool Batman number one Funko Pop because he listened to the whole podcast and got the secret word.
Which was
Garbanzo.
Garbanzo.
Yeah.
So no secret word this week.
No secret word this week. We're just testing if you're listening, but we will come back with more secret words and things about winning prizes coming next year. That's all in the works. So congratulations to him. We'll ship it out to him sometime or get it to him some way for sure. So ladies and gentlemen, we're out of here. We hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Collector Jay, yeah, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas time, as
you
Paul
as well.
McCartney used to
you
say.
As well.
Amber, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas time, even though you're not, you know, you don't think Jesus is the reason for the season. That's okay. But we hope you have a great Christmas time. You're more than welcome to, you know, bring gifts if you want to after the new year.
Food, I'll bring food.
Okay, bring some food. That'd be fantastic. That's a gift. That's a gift that keeps on giving. So Professor Barry, on behalf of Professor Barry, Collector Jay, and Amber, we certainly do appreciate you guys listening to the show. You guys can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. You can read all our reviews on MauiWatch.com. I've got stuff up there. Professor Barry does. And so does Collector Jay. Collector Jay posted a very special story on the website as well. So check that out. You can get all our information at MauiWatch.com or facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. Follow us. Let us know what you think of the show. Comment on the show. We want to know what you guys think of the show as well. That's always important to us, is your feedback for sure. So ladies and gentlemen, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And instead of ending with aloha, ladies and gentlemen, we here in the islands on this Christmas season, we always say Mele Kaliki Maka. We're out of here. Have a lovely, lovely Christmas season. We'll see you next year.
It's that time. Christmas time is here. Everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh. Santa's on his way.